السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله. My noble audience, Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Almighty, for the last few weeks, we have discussed the importance of supplication. Today we will dedicate the Jumu'ah to the same topic, so we get further insight to the importance, to the merit of supplication. As we are all very well aware that in a few days we will be entering the month of Ramadan, and people will commit to different levels of worship. Many people will spend countless hours reciting the glorious Quran. Many people will establish the Taraweeh prayer. But many a times we do not give the true importance to dua. So that's why for the last few weeks I have been preparing my noble family in relation to dua. So when the month of Ramadan arrives, we can dedicate a healthy moment, a healthy time to supplication. Because many a times a person cannot attain certain levels of success through personal ibadat, but when it comes to dua, he can attain that personal level of success that he is aiming for. Now, the verse that I recited in the opening of my discussion is a verse from Surah Al-Baqarah. It is verse 186. And when we study the entire Quran from cover to cover, we realize that there's only one section in the entire Quran that has been dedicated to the month of Ramadan. There's only one section that starts from verse 183 onwards. And in the middle of this section, as we have made mention in the past, Allah Almighty introduces us to the blessing of dua. Allah Almighty guides us to the fine details pertaining to dua. And one of the amazing selection of words that I would like to discuss in my opening statement is that Allah Almighty says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. That, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when my servants ask you concerning me, inform them that I am close by. Now, the background to this ayat 186 is that in the early days, when Sahaba entered the fold of Islam, they were given an understanding that Allah Almighty is the greatest. He is the provider. He is the Rabb. He is the sustainer. Yakta Malik hai is pure kainat ke. So the Sahaba developed this muhabba with Allah Almighty, and they wanted to communicate with Allah. But they did not know of the ethics, the adab of his court. So they said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when we address Allah Almighty, in our speech, should we be allowed or should we be silent? Should we be allowed or should we be silent when addressing Allah Almighty? So in response, Allah Almighty says, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I am close by. You don't have to shout. But the next word is amazing. Allah Almighty says, and this is for the brothers that understand Arabic, they will understand the miraculous nature of the Quran by this word alone. Allah says, Ujib. He doesn't say Asma. Allah does not say Asma, I hear the dua. He said, I respond to the dua. And this Ujib applies to the dua of the heart as well. Allah Almighty says, even if you do not utter a word, but you make a dua from your heart, I will respond. If Allah Almighty said, Asma da'wah, I listen to your dua, then we will have to make a dua that is heard by us, heard by Allah Almighty. Allah Almighty says, no, ujib, I respond to the dua. It doesn't matter if you have given it your words. It doesn't matter if that dua is in your thoughts. And it doesn't matter if you are whispering it to your own self. I can hear it. I will respond to it. And that's why in Surah Qaf, Surah number 50, verse number 16, Allah Almighty says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ, verily we have created the human being. وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُ, and we know what he himself whispers to himself. When a person is sitting down and he's just talking to himself without the usage of words, without activating the articulator, he's speaking in his heart. وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُ, Allah knows what you're whispering to your own self. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَّبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ, and we are closer to you than your jugular vein. So my noble audience, brothers and sisters and dear children, Allah Almighty in a very beautiful style makes mention that he will respond. And he will respond always. He will respond always. Now I'm going to give you a formula derived from the Ahadith Mubarakah that will allow our du'as to be readily accepted. We need to be confident in ourselves that my supplication is going to be accepted by Allah Almighty. So the one of the things that we have to develop is confidence, belief, unshattered belief that my dua is going to be accepted. I may not see a physical manifestation of that, but I believe in it. And this has been understood from the Quran. In Surah Maryam, the surah that follows Surah Kahf, Surah number 18, Surah Kahf, that we should recite on Friday, the following Surah, Surah Maryam, verse number 4, Allah Almighty says, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسِ شَيْبًا وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيًّا. This is the conviction, the belief in the dua that has been made over a substantial time. Not a dua that has been made for a few weeks and then a person gives up. Giving up in itself indicates that a person is not confident. Allah Almighty makes mention of Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam in this ayah, verse number 4, surah number 19. Inni wahana al-azm. That, oh Allah, weakness has grown in my bones. In my bones I have become weak. This is an expression to indicate that I have grown old. Main bura ho gaya. At this age, normally, basically, purple people do not hear the news of children. I have grown old. My bones have become weak. وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا. And grey hair has spread over my head. سارے بال سفید ہو گئے. Bones weak, grey hair. Now, nowadays we see, including myself, at a very young age, we experience grey hair. But Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam is not alluding to young age grey hair. He's alluding to grey hair of old age. But he says, وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيَّ. The pinnacle of this ayah. The pinnacle of this ayah. وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيَّ. Everything is against what I am asking for. My feeble bones, my grey hair indicates that I cannot be blessed with a child. But I know you, O Allah. I have been speaking to you from my inception till today. I have presented my needs in front of you. وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيَّ. I have never ever been unblessed when making dua to you. Against all odds, I know you're going to grant me my wish. He made the dua with such conviction that against all odds, Allah granted him a child. Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam. So conviction, belief. Just like when you go to your father, you go to your mother, you go to your longotia yar, your best friend, your pal, and you ask for something knowing that he cannot say no. You go with a higher level of belief and conviction when you express your inner feelings, your wants in front of Allah Almighty. And Allah will respond. And I made mention of the different levels of response last week. Now, if we want our du'as to be accepted, and this is very important, I would like to discuss this, spending some time on this. Many a times when we start making du'a, the main focus is me and my family. That's the main focus. Me, my wife, my parents, my family. And if we're making dua for, let's say, 25 minutes, 20 minutes is me and my family, immediate family. And then maybe 5 minutes, the entire ummah, if they're lucky. If the ummah is lucky, 5 minutes. Or it may be a very superficial dua, very shallow dua. Ya Allah, forgive the Muslims of this ummah. Ajma'een, Rahmatika Ya Rahman Rahim. I want to share something with you that will give you a different perspective, understanding of the techniques and methods of making dua in the light of different narratives. Before we discuss those explicit narratives pertaining to dua, the very famous statement of Nabi Akrim Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that is echoing in the world till today, that no one can challenge, and people try to construct their ideology on this narrative, is irhamu man fil ard yarhamkum man fis sama. Entire world, they speak about human rights, they speak about the rights of the animal kingdom, botanical kingdom, this kingdom, that kingdom. But the principle, the asool pertaining to all these discussions has been encapsulated in this one statement. Irhamu man fil ard yarhamkum man fis sama. have mercy, empathy, love, kindness for those that are sharing this domain with you. Irhamu man fil ard. The Nabi of Allah didn't say insan. He didn't say jinn. He said man fil ard. Whoever is sharing this domain with you, this theater, this arena with you, have mercy upon them. What will I get in return? Yarhamkum man fis sama. Allah, the most merciful, will have raham upon you in proportion to the raham that you display to those that are sharing this domain with you. If I want Allah to forgive me, I have to forgive. If I want Allah to forgive me, I have to forgive. Don't expect that you don't forgive and Allah will forgive. In proportion to the pain that you experience, in proportion to the level of forgiveness that you show, Allah will show you forgiveness. Meaning that if you have committed a mighty, mighty crime and you want to be forgiven, if somebody has hurt you tremendously, forgive that person. In proportion to that, Allah will forgive you. We are not ready to let go. And would you expect Allah to let go? It's not going to work. You want Allah to favor you with generosity, with sakhawa. And we become stingy. We become stingy. We sit on our wealth and we expect Allah to show generosity. Sakhawa, it's not going to happen. You show generosity, Allah will show you generosity. تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. Adorn yourselves with the characteristics of Allah Almighty. All these different statements are in reality narratives that shed light upon the principal narrative. اِرْحَمُوا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمْكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Now, in the month of Ramadan, the greatest dua that we make is we say, Ya Allah, forgive us. We say, Ya Allah, forgive us. People came to us, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they said, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, for a substantial time we have been deprived of rains. You are Kaleemullah, can you ask Allah to send the rains? Everything has dried out, withered away. Can you make dua? So the Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he didn't say, Ya Rab Asqina, Allahumma Aghithna. He didn't say that send the rains. He said, Rabbana Aghfir Lana, Rabbana Aghfir Lana, Rabbana Aghfir Lana. The people could not understand the connection of Rabbana Aghfir Lana, O Allah, forgive us, with the rains. They thought that as a Musa alayhi salatu wasalam will say, Allahumma aghithna, Ya Allah, send the rains. So after as a Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made the dua, they said, O Kaleemullah, O Prophet of time, what kind of dua was that? That is not in conformity with the request that we have made. It's not in tune. As a Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said that, look, there are ni'mats that descend from the unlimited, unseen treasures of Allah Almighty. But there is a veil over and above us that we have erected. There is a veil that we have erected over and above us that does not allow these different bounties to descend. And amongst all the bounties, one is rain. So first of all, you have to remove this veil that we have erected, we have constructed, the veil of vice, the veil of evil. So I said, Ya Allah, forgive us. So if I say, Ya Allah, forgive me, the veil has been removed. It allows the bounties that descend, because Allah is generous. His generosity never pauses. It never stops. But if I have an umbrella over me and it rains, I will come out dry. I need to remove the umbrella, the veil of evil. And that's why I said, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا. So one of the greatest du'as that we have to make in the month of Ramadan is, Ya Allah, forgive me. Now if I want forgiveness, what do I have to display? Forgiveness. I have to display forgiveness. Hum maafi nahi karte. We don't forgive. We don't let go. What is the ego of a human? Let go. One person asks, he says, forgive me, forgive the person. How far are you going to go with this grudge? With this animosity? How far? So there's a hadith in Kanzul Ummal in relation to what I'm discussing. Very important. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ اسْتَغْفَرَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ سَبْعًا وَعِشْرِينَ مَرَّةً. And I made mention of this a few years ago. It was on our Holland Park website as well. مَنْ اسْتَغْفَرَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. A person who makes istighfar for the believing men and the believing women. Meaning, don't be self-centered. Don't be shallow in your approach. Think about everyone. Because we are one a'ila. We are one big family. The Nabi of Allah says, "Man istaghfar," a person who asks forgiveness for the believing men and the believing women, every day 27 times. 27 times. By saying, Allahumma gfirli walil mu'mineena wal mu'minat, Ya Allah, forgive me, forgive the believing men, forgive the believing women. Allahu Akbar. What is the reward? Kana minal ladina yustajabu lahum wa yurzaqu bihim ahlul ardh. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. The first reward for asking forgiveness for your brothers and sisters, not once, not twice, but 27 times every day. And this will not happen if we don't develop a relationship with the ummah. The first reward is you become mustajabu da'wat. Your du'as are readily accepted. And the reason behind it is very, very obvious. Du'as are not accepted when a person has that veil. When I am making du'a for my brothers and sisters, I am concerned about their veil. Allah removes their veil, won't He remove my veil? That's why the hadith in Kanzul Ummal, du'a'ul mar'il muslim mustajabun li akhihi bi dhahril ghaib aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. When a Muslim brother makes du'a for a brother that is absent, it is always accepted. You're making a du'a for a brother that is not absent. You say, Ya Allah, bhai Mubarak ko khushiyan ata kar. I'm sitting in my house, brother Mubarak sitting in his house. Ya Allah, grant Uncle Sher, Ya khushiyan is dunya mein. You know. How is Allah going to reject that dua? You make dua for another brother. This is adorned with sincerity. Adorned with sincerity. So when you're making dua for a brother that is absent, that dua is accepted. Jazakumullah. So when you're making istighfar for brothers and sisters that you do not personally know, the only thing that connects you is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. You remove that veil, and in lieu Allah removes your veil, you become mustajabu da'wat. وَيُرُزَقُ بِهِمْ أَهْلُ الْأَرْضِ. And Allah will give sustenance to the makhluk because of you. Because you are removing that veil. So what do we learn from this? We learn that in the month of Ramadan, and outside the month of Ramadan, and in our supplications that are responded by Allah Almighty, do not be self-centered. If you want something for yourself, ask the same for your entire Muslim family. You ask for your Muslim family, whatever you're asking for them, Allah will give you as well. And if you want it to be treated in a certain manner by Allah Almighty, display that mannerism with the makhluk of Allah Almighty. That is my message for today. Think about it, ponder over this. We have a few announcements, and that's why we cut the talk short. Allah Rabbul Izzah give us tawfiq. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.